Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Second half of the program begins right now. We'll get to a little bit more on the John Dorsey situation later on, but now we go around the country 2 minutes at a time, talking to the people covering the stories where they're happening. We call it the two-minute drill, and it starts this time in Denver, Colorado, altitude 950. Josh Dover from altitude 950 is with us. Josh, how are you?
I am doing well, Soren. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, better than the Rockies, I guess. We get all excited that they are ready to rock and roll, and then they're swept at the hands of the Dodgers. What do you think? Just a minor setback, or is it a sign of the reality that they're still a year away?
I think the Rockies, we were all, myself included, drinking the purple Kool-Aid early on. It was a feeling Denver hadn't felt really ever, a team starting this hot out of the gate. I think they're going to be okay. They're going to get John Gray back in Arizona here later on in the week, which hopefully sparks something with that pitching staff. There was some concerns with the bullpen early on, but a guy like Holland, you guys are certainly familiar with, kind of smoothed some of those concerns out for Rockies fans. But I think it's just a bump in the road. Are they going to win a World Series? Are they going to be a favorite to win a World Series? I think they are still a year out, to your point there, to be even considered in that conversation. But they're still a really good baseball team.
Yeah, they are, and still in command of a wild card spot, although I assume everybody that roots for a National League team expects the Cubs to wake up at some point, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, they can't be this bad again this quickly, can they? But I think the Rockies, I mean, hover around that 10 games over, mark, and then when things, the wheels fall off like they are right now, you give yourself a little bit of a cushion to bounce back. So, yeah, the Cubs will make their push, but I don't expect the Rockies to be losing 5 games in a row regularly as the season winds.
Yeah, you mentioned making a push, and I think that's how the story I read phrased it, that Paxton Lynch is making a push to be the starter. How do you make a push when nothing's going on?
Well, you make a push by, I guess, throwing a couple of touchdowns in minicamp. Paxton looked okay last week, but so did Trevor. I mean, to be fair, both guys had a couple of minicamp touchdown passes, again, where they're running around with shorts on. Doesn't really mean much to me. But Paxton also threw a couple of interceptions, one of which was returned for a touchdown in said minicamp. So I think we're going to get a lot of this, Loren. I think the Broncos really, really, really want Paxton Lynch to be their starting quarterback to make their GM look really, really smart. But it's going to be a battle, and I don't believe he can beat Trevor Siemian.
And that's an indictment when you make the move to get this guy that he's still in this battle. I don't know. Do we celebrate the Broncos that they're not just giving the guy the job because of his draft position, or do we say, wow? I mean, what a clown fest if the first round draft pick with a year under his belt now isn't absolutely ready and absolutely the man.
I tend to fall towards the latter, man, with you a little bit there, because I feel the same way. You move up to get the guy, you can't beat a seventh-round pick, you can't figure out the playbook. Those are indictments of the player, and if the GM or front office staff didn't do their homework on the player who's now not doing his homework, I think that falls on the guys upstairs, including John Elway.
Does he have a diva attitude?
Not really. I mean, all the interactions with him have been fine. There's been a few guys who have taken part, and it's kind of been a thing on Denver Twitter, Denver Broncos Twitter, I should say, the media covering, with Paxton being the first quarterback off the field. And you know how that goes. In June, you're looking for a story, and sometimes the quarterback that's rumored to not know the playbook too well coming off the field first is a bad look, and I think he needs to be more aware of that. Paxton does.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on from the Broncos and talk about the Nuggets. Talk of them being in the middle of a three-team trade that they would end up with Kevin Love. Are they in the middle of a deal right now, and do you see them at least doing something to try to shake things up?
You know, this goes back to draft night. They wanted this same similar deal to be made for the Nuggets, and Tim Connelly told me after the draft, he was disappointed, and you could hear it in his voice. You could see it in his face. He was really disappointed that something did not go down. It turns out they're asking for Jamal Murray and a couple of pieces that the Nuggets aren't willing to part ways with. But it's sounding like today some of the talks are dying down. I know the front office really, really likes Kevin Love. I also know they like Blake Griffin, and the guys play the same position. So a lot of stuff's going to happen here in Denver on July 1st or immediately after. But I think Kevin Love to Denver is something that the team will continue to push, and I think it's a good fit for this current Denver Nuggets roster.
All right, great stuff. Josh Dover in Denver, we appreciate the time, man. Great week.
You too. Thanks for having me. Alan Days,
Fort Worth Night. RJ Choppy is next, 105.3 The Fan. They're in Dallas, Texas. RJ, how are you?
Soren, how you doing, man? I'm doing well.
Not bad. Are the rumors true that Mark Cuban threatened people's jobs if they leaked the draft picks?
No, I mean, I can't imagine that was a true story. Just kind of to give you an idea of how much we actually believed it around here. We didn't even mention it on our show this morning. So it's like, that's not something that we really talked about. Nobody really bought in that was something that was the reality, because I don't think that was the reality. I mean, they didn't know where they were going to go, because they didn't really know if Dennis Smith was even going to be around when they picked at 9.
What do they think they got accomplished in the draft?
Well, I mean, they got a player that is ready to go. Now I don't know how he's going to get along with Rick Carlisle, who is someone who can ride young players. He's a great coach, but that's just kind of how his personality is. Yeah, but the fan base loves the pick. Jonathan Isaac was going to be their first choice if he had dropped, but that was such a long shot that he would be there. They loved Dennis Smith pick, and the fan base likes this more than maybe a Frank Ntilikina, who went to the Knicks just because he's a project. And there are some other guys who are projects as well, like Zach Collins. Some fans wanted Malik Monk, but I mean, Malik Monk is what he is. He's kind of like a Lou Williams type, and I don't know that you want to use a top 10 pick on Lou Williams.
Yeah, all right, it'll be interesting. The Mavericks also declining the option on Dirk Nowitzki, which got everybody's attention there for a second. But this is all just part of the process of signing him to a longer deal. How long? How much longer is he going to play?
They're going to give him a 2-year deal. It may be the same kind of thing where it's a 2-year deal but a 1-year option, and they can, cut it in the middle and restructure and re-sign and, however they need to work the cap. Dirk's been pretty good about that. If they're not going to use a lot of the money, then he'll take more. If they are going to use the money, then he'll take less as long as they use it. This is kind of what Dirk has done. I mean, he doesn't really want to go anywhere. He's made his home here. He has a big charity event every year here in town. This was expected. We knew they were going to let him go. We knew they were also going to re-sign him.
Yeah, okay, that's what I expected. All right, the Rangers, at least getting back into the wild card race. Are they going to be buyers or sellers as we head towards the trade deadline?
I still don't think we know. If you look at it right now, I mean, they're clearly in the thick of the wild card, but they're so far back of Houston, they have to look at themselves objectively and think, all right, do we want to go for the championship and try to sneak in the wild card and hope we get hot? Because the way baseball is, I mean, anybody can win the World Series as long as they get in. Getting in is the most important thing. And the other sports, outside of hockey, really, I mean, you get in, who the final four are going to wind up being anyway. So it just depends on how they view their chances long term. I mean, long term, the best plan for them probably is to trade a few guys, get younger, do what the White Sox did, do what the Yankees did, get a long term, goal in mind, and try to beat the Astros in a couple of years. Because the way they are now, Houston, you have to figure that over the next couple of years, they're going to be just as good as they are right now. So that's just going to be tough for the Rangers to compete with.
Yeah. And by the way, no drama from the Cowboys. Is that hard to handle?
No, it's just perfect. it's boring, I guess, if you want to call it that. But, I mean, let's be real. I mean, this team has been so much – it's so much fun to cover, because there's always something. There's always something going on with them. But the dead period, we go through this every year. If we have any news to talk about right now with the Cowboys, it's usually bad. That's the way football is. End of June, early July, if you're talking about your NFL team, it's probably because somebody got arrested or something happened in the dead period, because there's not much going on.
Yeah, or somehow they let the general manager go in the middle of it. That's what's going on up here. RJ Choppy in Dallas, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate the time. Have a great week.
All right, Seren, you too.
Of course, so does Munch Bishop, ESPN Cleveland there in Cleveland, Ohio. Munch, how are you, sir?
Start always doing good, buddy. Yourself?
Not bad. No complaints. Let's start with the Cavaliers. What are they going to do? Are they going to get Paul George? Are they moving Kevin Love? Can they get Paul George without moving Kevin Love? What's the team going to look like next year?
Well, here is the bottom line. LeBron does not want to lose Kevin Love. There are three guys that he has said no problem of trading. Two of the three are thinking, well, come on, man, you pay us to take them in Shumpert and Pry. And one is Tristan Thompson. He lobbied for that big contract for Tristan. Now I believe he realizes that the guy does not even have an offensive game 3 feet from the basket, okay? So that's a lot to pay for a rebounder at times. I mean, the guy should be at least putting up 8 to 10 points, 15, 16 rebounds for what he's getting. But here's what's coming down, is that LeBron knows that Paul George is a guy that they need to have to beat Golden State. He also has wanted to play with Carmelo for the longest time, and now D-Wade creeping into the picture. Who knows? All three of those guys could end up here. And the George thing is interesting. Here's why, Soren, because he gets a ring next year with Cleveland, quote-unquote. And again, we're all looking ahead, but that's what we do in our business, is that does he say, okay, to L.A., people could never say I never got one, or that was so much fun, let's stay here for LeBron's prodding and get another one. We got to remember this, too, is that state prohibitive favors again to meet up next year. Who knows what's going to happen? We don't know that, but when they do, it'll be the fourth time in a row Cleveland wins this one. You don't think the NBA wants to see a fifth and a rubber match? But if you're asking me right today, Paul George does end up here. He has become persona not grata in Indy with the media and the fans, and somehow Carmelo and D-Wade are drowning the wine and gold next year, too.
All right, you're like all of them you're talking about, not one of those, all of them, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, that'd be interesting. Has anybody else figured out that the biggest problem that the Cavs have, of course, the biggest set they have is LeBron James. The biggest problem they have is LeBron James, the GM, and the $30 million. You mentioned Tristan Thompson, but how about J.R. Smith as well? They got $30 million in cap space tied up in those two bad players, but they're very limited players. And you know, they give LeBron what he wants, and that's the problem. What he wants is not what they need.
Well, you know what? LeBron gets what he wants from owners. David Griffin, is this going to be interesting? Is not GM. Is Dan Gilbert, quote-unquote, wanted to take control of his team again? And you tell me how it's going to happen. He said LeBron does not want to get rid of Kevin Love. It's nearly impossible to keep him and add all these other guys, too. So there are some talks. And, yeah, you know what? He is the best player in the NBA today. He is what drives the Cavaliers' engine. People a lot of times take a step back and, oh, my God, Bunch, don't say that on the air, because you get them to go, nah, if he's going to go, he's going to go anyway. All I ask is this, get one more championship for the city, and then whatever you want to do, go do. I mean, I'm tired of fighting with guys, stay here, do this. But the word I got out of Indy, too, that was really interesting on George is that, you know what, and we've heard this before, Soren, I love Kansas City where you are. I love Cleveland, is that when you're getting the type of money, the kind of cash these guys are getting, you know, stay in a nice place like that. You know, you want to go to L.A. for the weekend for a week, you go. You want to go to New York City for the weekend, which I just left New York City, and all I can say is you talk about a different world. It's Star Wars in the 21st century. It's there, too. So that's what people are scratching their heads about. What more do these guys want?
Yeah. Hey, and I was in L.A. a couple of weekends ago. It's a nice place to go for a weekend, like you said. Then get the hell out of there. All right, but then again, we're old, too. So let's keep that in mind.
Older.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? As long as I don't drive, I can handle New York and the Bronx. You'll like this one, too. Tell me if this isn't something that shakes you up. I know that Uber has variable rates.
Yeah.
But to go 8 miles from Yankee Stadium back to my hotel last Thursday, I hopped in, and the guy goes, it'll be $90. And I'm thinking, I have no choice. Okay, let's go. You know, I'll put it on plastic. I get there. He had the rate figured out wrong. It was $185, so I had fast food the next 3-4 days.
Let me tell you something. When the guy tells me it's 90 when I get in the car and tells me it's 185 when I get out, there's going to be a fight. I don't know about you, Munch, but
brother, you know, if it was Cleveland, there would have been a fight. It wasn't my city. I was in the Bronx. You know, he had the old thing on his phone, too. Well, look, this is prime time rate that I didn't figure in, this and that. Oh, no, bro, if it was in Cleveland, I would have thrown down.
Yeah, okay. All right, good to know. Good to know. I want to make sure of that. All right, the Indians swept by the Twins. Can you explain to me how Cleveland is 1-5 against the Twins at home and 7-0 at Minnesota?
Brother, look at their record overall at home. Are they getting fat? Do they you know, and they had huge crowds. Remember we've talked about where are the yep. people in Cleveland? 95,000 for three games in a place that, you know, configured now 36,000 to 38,000. Man, I wish I knew the immediacy of hitting with runners in scoring position has disappeared at home. And, bro, even the other day, you have two unearned runs. Did you see the jam that Kluber threw? Two unearned runs and even more of a hex. And, again, I'm not in the big, Soren. I don't know if you could have made the bigs. But one of the guys that I scratched my head how he ever made the bigs, who he had sort of, you know, with GMs with farm animals, Chris Jimenez hits a home run the other day. It's like, you know that it's not meant to be.
Yeah. All right. The Indians still the heavy favorite, though, when it's all said and done. The Royals are making some noise. Anybody notice that in Cleveland, that the Royals are gaining on the Indians and Twins?
What's that about the...
Just that the Royals are no longer, you know, at 10-20, they were dead and buried. But now at 500 and only two behind the Indians and 2.5 behind the Twins, I'm curious, does anybody in Cleveland say, hey, all right, look, the Twins are fun and we think that they're gonna die off before it's all said and done, but maybe we got to take the Royals seriously, or no, are the Royals not even on the radar?
That. A guy you're talking to right now, because to me, the Twins are playing with house money. They never expected this to happen, okay? And they are going to drop off the pace. Oh, yeah, I'm keeping an eye big, big time on the Kansas City Royals. Don't look like they're going to be sellers now, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I'm imploring them to buy. We'll see if they do it. Munch Bishop in Cleveland. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great week, my friend.
My pleasure, brother.